Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Zacks of Life, a Marvel podcast from laughingplace.com. Mike Mack, Kyle Burbank. How's it going, Kyle?
Hello. Pretty good. How about you?
Good. It's good. We had the Falcon and the Winter Soldier finale. I mean, I'm still recovering from that. So we also have some Marvel news to talk about, of course. This last week, we had nothing to talk about as far as news is concerned. And this week, it was just huge stories left and right.
Yeah. Like, usually it's just a lot of comic stuff. This time, I was like, oh, there's, like, a lot of news here.
Yeah. Of course, we'll have our Falcon the Winter Soldier recap. How much is that cameo makes a return? And, of course, another fun draft as well. But let's jump into this news, because like I said, there is a lot of it. So where do we even start? As I was putting all of this together, I was thinking, you know, oh, this is the biggest story of the week. And then wait, no, this was the biggest story. And then, oh, wow, I forgot about this one. So, I mean, let's just start off with that
11th hour entry.
Yeah. 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 Some big news from just a few hours before we started recording. Let's start off with the trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. What did you think?
I was waiting to see how you were going to pronounce it, because we've been saying Shang-Chi this entire time, but then it seems like it's more like Shang-Chi. So you just have to decide how much you want to put an accent on it. And I don't quite know, but I'm going to go with Shang-Chi. I thought it was a lot of fun. Definitely had a cool vibe to it with the martial arts or martial arts inspired. I don't know how accurate it is. And yeah, just a cool new kind of style. Like, it's still very Marvel, but definitely had something fresh feeling about it.
Yeah, that's what's so cool, that like Marvel can have these movies still feel like a Marvel movie, but yet it's such a different, it's almost a completely different genre, right? Like, you have Ant-Man, that's a heist movie. You have Guardians of the Galaxy, which is basically like a space comedy. And then you have others that are just a straight-up action movie. And this one is Marvel's first kung fu movie, which I think is going to be really, really cool. The action seemed awesome. It's a great cast. It's such a different story. I'm looking forward to it. That trailer got me really excited for it.
And Awkwafina's in it. And who doesn't like Awkwafina?
Anyway, speaking of great casts, we got some fun casting news for Secret Invasion. Olivia Colman, and then the big one for me, at least, Emilia Clarke, rumored at least, or in talks to join the cast of Secret Invasion. I am very excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, another Oscar winner, and then someone else who's been in Star Wars. So a good combo right there.
Yeah, and We talked briefly about this on Marvel Time this week with you filling in for Benji there. And Emilia Clarke, the villain, the primary villain of the Secret Invasion story arc in the comics is a character named Queen Varanki. And that is one of the names that I've seen written but have never heard pronounced. So no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So Queen Varanki, the queen of the Skrulls. Well, Emilia Clarke has some experience playing a queen, so I mean, there you go. Just throwing that out there. We don't know who she's playing, but that's the way I would go with it. We also got another trailer this week, this time for the MODOK animated series coming to Hulu. I found this trailer to be really funny. What did you think about it?
I also thought it was funny. It has a cover of Third Eye Blind's Semi-Charm Life, and they're one of my favorite bands, so that definitely helped. And it was even worked into a joke on the show. Yeah, kind of like we were saying before, kind of Adult Swim vibe, especially like Robot Chicken, kind of the style looks like they could be toys almost. So yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I will probably check it out when it comes out.
Yeah, the cast of this show is just amazing. Patton Oswalt's one of my favorite comedians on the planet. Ben Schwartz, Melissa Fumero. We learned too that Nathan Fillion will be voicing Wonder Man, and John Hamm is voicing Iron Man. I mean, this is an amazing cast. It looks really, really funny. And yes, the super adaptoid singing Third Eye Blind was probably the funniest moment of this trailer. So I'm looking forward to it for sure. Another big piece of news that is not related to any new trailers or, you know, sneak peeks of upcoming Marvel projects, but could be, you know, just as exciting. Disney and Sony made a deal for Sony movies to eventually make their way to Disney Plus, and you can explain this deal a little bit better than I can.
So I think I can. My understanding is Sony recently, because they don't have a streaming service, they're the only ones of like the major six studios that doesn't have its own streaming service. So they actually recently made a deal with Netflix so that some of their library titles, as well as their release slate from 2022 to 2026, I think, will go to Netflix after it does its, you know, traditional theatrical window and then its home video release. So basically around the time that you sometimes see movies pop up on HBO, that's when they'll come to Netflix. So it's not going to be an HBO Max situation where you're having them in theaters and on Netflix at the same time or anything like that. So then what Disney's thing is the same thing, except that it's after what they call the pay TV one window. So I think theirs is the pay TV two window. So you'll have movies go to theaters, then to home video, then to Netflix for an unspecified time or a time that I don't know what it is. And then they have the option of not only going to Disney Plus, but also being on the Disney linear networks like ESPN and Freeform and ABC and stuff like that.
Right. So what this could result in is us having essentially the entire MCU on Disney Plus eventually, except for The Incredible Hulk. But I don't think too many people are upset about that one. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also very interested. They did also mention in the information about the deal, films like Jumanji and some other non-Marvel related films. So I'm interested to see what ends up going to Hulu and like you mentioned, some of the other networks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be one of those things where we might have things together for a time.
Right.
Who knows if, you know, Disney will probably pick and choose the library stuff they want, or they, who knows how all the library stuff works. But yeah, I think for a while we'll get that flood of stuff. So we'll get the new Spider-Man on Disney Plus eventually. It'll be on Netflix first, but it'll come to Disney Plus, you know, in a couple of years after its release, probably. But
well, if the MCU has taught us anything, it's to be patient. So I think we can wait a little bit for that.
That's true.
So another piece of casting news as it relates to another MCU project coming up. We learned a few weeks ago that Russell Crowe would be playing a small role in Thor: Love and Thunder. Now it appears that role might be a little bit bigger. He said on an Australian radio show that he is playing Zeus in this movie. And yes, it is that Zeus, like the father of Hercules, the you know, king of the Olympians and all of that. So that's exciting. Although an interesting thought on that, let's remember that the villain in this is Gore the God Butcher. So, you know, they probably needed to throw a character in there that can give Christian Bale's character that name. So, you know, still might not be too much screen time for Russell Crowe. I mean, that's just a guess on my part. Maybe he is coming to warn Thor and the Asgardians about Gore killing all of the rest of the Olympians. But who knows? We'll see. I'm excited, though. I think the addition of Zeus is pretty cool. Whatever role he ends up playing, I think Russell Crowe is a good casting job for that character. So another exciting piece of news and another reason to be excited for that movie, because that is really shaping up to look awesome. Some more exciting news we got today, and this wasn't so much news as it was really like a first or a closer look, I guess. Walt Disney Imagineering shared a look at their Project Kiwi platform, which is a walking robot, more or less, that they are going to use at some point in Disney parks. And this robot was themed to Groot. So a young walking Groot character interaction in the parks. It looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you say you're saying it's coming to the Disney parks. We don't know that. Unfortunately, they've released a lot of these kind of, you know, they'll do trials and they'll build these things. And sometimes, you know, they kind of go away, or like we've seen them come to it like a little bit. Like remember Lucky the Dinosaur or the Walking Wally, where, you know, they have a couple of short runs and go away. And speaking of which, if you look in the video, there's actually the famed Fantasyland dragon that flew over Fantasyland one time for a press event and never again, and it's hanging at Imagineering. But anyway, we also got a similar video like this for the what was called Stickman and then Stuntronics that they're now actually using for Spider-Man at Avengers Campus, which again, we don't know to what capacity. It sounds they're making it sound as though it's going to be at least a daily occurrence and not a one-time thing. So there's definitely hope that you might see this at a Disney park, but I would use a little bit of caution, I'd say. But it does look awesome.
I'm not saying expect to see a Groot walking around on your next Disneyland.
No, that's exactly what you said, fake news, Mac.
No, I'm just, I mean, in some capacity, I'm sure we'll see, you know, some semblance of this experience. The video made it look really, really cool. The fact that it balances on one foot at one point, I mean, it really walks around on its own. It's just a really, really cool piece of technology. I am hoping I get to see it in person at some point. But like you said, they've done things like this a lot that have had very limited runs. So who knows? Fingers crossed, though.
Yeah. I mean, even if it ends up being something, if it doesn't fully work out, I hope they find a way to use it as like just a regular audio animatronic in like the queue for the ride or in the ride itself. I think that'd be cool.
Yes, absolutely. That would be really awesome. All right. So the latest breaking news is that I won our draft last week. I couldn't let this go by without me plugging our results from last week. I had to brag about my win. It was closer than I expected, but I did pull out the win for our non MCU Marvel movie draft.
Well, congratulations. So. But before you get to the actual big news, let me say, I don't know if there's anyone that listens to just the beginning of this podcast before we get to the recap and hasn't actually watched the show yet. But if so, you might want to skip this next news story as well.
Yeah, that is a good point, because the big news that we got just earlier today was the reported announcement of Captain America 4 being worked on at Marvel Studios. Like Kyle said, this just the existence of this movie basically is a spoiler. So if you watched this week, the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I assume you have because you're listening to us, Falcon becomes Captain America. We can assume he's going to be the subject of this fourth Captain America movie. I am thrilled to get this news. I'm a little bit surprised because I mean, the slate is already so full. It's just, and they keep adding projects to it. It's kind of crazy the amount of Marvel content we have coming up in the next 3 years or so. So I'm not sure where they're going to fit this in, but of course I'm thrilled about the news.
Yeah. And it's going to be from the showrunner of the show. So you'll definitely get some of that same probably perspective that was in this project. So I think it could, you know, definitely makes sense. Maybe they were just waiting to see how this does. Obviously, they didn't make the announcement. It was, I don't know if it's leaked or how these things work, but it's right. Not like they chose to announce it on the day that this happened, but I'm right. Glad that they at least waited. Like, I wonder if someone at Hollywood Reporter got this news a couple days ago and they're like, okay, well, just keep it shut for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, can't. We're going to get so killed by nerds if we do that.
Yeah,
even though we all knew it was pretty much a done deal at that point.
Right. Yeah, and like you said, the showrunner, Malcolm Spellman, will be writing the script for, or at least co-writing the script for this fourth Captain America movie. So I like the way that this series went, so I am excited to see what he can do with a feature film. And obviously excited to see more of Sam as Captain America.
For sure.
All right, and that serves as a nice little segue to get into the finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So let's dive right into what was a very busy episode. As we expected, we wasted very little time before getting into the big fight that we were expecting for the last five episodes. And like we predicted as well, pretty much all of the pieces are now in the same location. We had everybody show up here, for the most part, at least, I guess. First off, though, we see that Sam is approaching New York. Bucky is there in New York, which I'm not sure how he got there so fast, but sure enough, he's there. We learn pretty quickly that Sam called in some backup, and it is Sharon Carter. But given what we saw in last week's episode, that she was on the phone with Batroc, and Batroc was then there working with Carly, I guess we kind of figured she was on her way there anyway. So that one makes a little bit more sense as to how quickly she got to New York.
I will say she shows up looking like somebody else, and she reveals that it's actually one of those elaborate tech masks that they have in Captain America: colon, the Winter Soldier. And for a second, though, I thought that she was going to be revealed to be
this week's Skrull,
but she wasn't. It was just a mask.
Yeah, that would have been interesting if some guy just walked up and revealed himself to be a Skrull.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for her, or you know, just somebody who uses, like, we saw Black Widow use that technology, and I'm waiting for somebody to just be like, to see a Skrull transform and just be like, well, this is useless now, or you know, just something along those lines. But yeah, no, it was cool that they kind of gave that call back to that tech. And speaking of tech, it didn't take long in this episode for us to see what was in the box last week. And as we expected, it was Sam's brand new Captain America suit. I knew pretty much exactly what to expect. By the way, they stayed very true to the comic book look.
Yeah, maybe to a fault.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. That's what I was going to ask you. Like, were you aware of the comic book look beforehand? And if not, what were your first thoughts on this costume?
I think I was familiar actually more with the Falcon in the comics than necessarily the Captain America, Sam as Captain America. I like it, except for the thing that comes up halfway up his head. It looks all right from the front, but the back just bugs me.
It is a little weird. Yeah, I'll give you that. I thought that was a little strange too. Like, pretty much just everything on his head, I thought was something was off about it. I wonder if they'll make some adjustments to it, you know, for that fourth Captain America movie or wherever we end up seeing Sam next.
I mean, it's not the worst thing, but yeah, the rest of the costume looks awesome. I love the design on the wings. I love that he can, as we'll talk about in a minute, curl up into a ball. That's all fun. And of course, he's got that shield along with the wings, and good combo.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you mentioned, I don't remember if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, but the fact that he was going to have to like learn some new fight mechanics, and you know, not having the wings and becoming Captain America, things would be different for him. And it's funny that like they do kind of show some new things, but it's more just additions because he now has the shield as well, and he kind of works everything together. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I mean, let's just broaden that topic a little bit. This episode was obviously very action heavy. I'm curious to get your thoughts on all of these fight scenes and chase scenes and everything, all of the action as a whole.
I feel like you're leading towards something and I don't quite know what it is. So I guess that's probably a good thing. There's definitely some ridiculous parts of this action. I just accepted it. Like we were discussing beforehand how, you know, the Avengers' ability to just talk to each other at any point. Whatever, we've just accepted it. It needs to happen, otherwise the movie would suck. So just let it happen. There's some other weird things. I can't actually remember any off the top of my head. But nothing bothered me. Nothing stuck out as like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't feel that way. I did think, however, that I think they cut a lot. I'm not sure if I would have to go back and like actually do some research on the amount of different shots that they use, but it felt like it was like not rushed, but kind of sped up. Like they kind of cut from one scene to the next, and even within singular fights, it was like a lot of camera cuts, and it kind of made it a little bit hard to follow at some points for me.
Maybe this was the Snyder cut. He was ramping speed.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. And I will say I watched it twice because I wrote my recap today as well, which you can check out right now on laughingplace.com. Shameless plug. And watching it the second time, it was a little bit, it was easier to follow. But I mean, that makes sense, right? You know what's going to happen. So you can kind of piece things together on your own. But yeah, I just found it a little bit more difficult to follow than some of the other action we've seen in this series. That being said, I did really enjoy the fight between Sam and Batroc. I love that style. We've talked about this before, that hand-to-hand combat like that. And I thought their fight was very entertaining. I wish we got more of it, because like I said, they kind of cut away from it to get to some of the other action and came back to it. And it was a little disjointed in that way, but I would have liked to see more, but I did really enjoy that portion of this long action sequence.
Yeah. And I like that. The only thing that can stop Sam with his shield is a chair.
Yes. Yeah. Batroc does manage to knock the shield down with a chair. And it wasn't even like he was like holding the chair. Like he kicked the chair at the shield and stopped it. So yeah, a little weird. Like the GRC only uses the finest vibranium chairs.
Yeah. It was interesting to note that in a lot of these fights, Sam was the only non super soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Well, I guess we don't know Batroc.
Right. But aside from that, like when they're dealing with, you know, even when Bucky's fighting, like he's super, and you know, the Sharon thing doesn't really count. So,
well, yeah, that's a different story that we'll talk about a little bit later too. There is a break in the action at one point where we kind of regroup with Carly and what looks to be like, I think it's like three or four Flag Smashers that are left at this point. And it seems as though they're starting to turn on her a little bit. Not that they're, you know, going after her, but they are not quite as committed to the mission as she is. And like, she even says she goes for their saying there, which is the title of this episode, one world, one people. And she, you know, she says one world and the response is supposed to be one people, and they hesitate and they don't say it. And she has to, you know, get them to do it again. And I thought it was interesting that they set up that they were like not, their hearts weren't in it the way that Carly was. And yet that never really paid off.
Yeah. Especially at the, well, sorry, I'm just going to jump to the end. At the end.
Yeah.
Someone says it to them and they kind of like, oh, cool. Like, you know, maybe it's just like, whatever. Maybe they're just relieved it's over, but they're like, oh, cool. Yeah. People are still vibing with our thing. And, you know, maybe that's because it's a pure version of what they were hoping for. Like they don't necessarily disbelieve in that mantra. They just didn't like Carly's approach to it and her willingness to compromise, I guess what they assumed were their values. Cause yeah, she says we'll kill the hostages if we have to. And they're just like, no, we won't.
I found that to be a really interesting scene, but still kind of expected it to give us a little bit of a bigger payoff, but that we never really got it. And I mean, I guess it did. It wasn't, I don't see that as too big of an issue, but it was something that stood out to me after watching it for the first time. But speaking of characters who may or may not want to turn over a new leaf, John arrives just in time. And I kind of feel like I have gotten so used to this character and I've really enjoyed this character now that we're on a first name basis. So I'm just calling him John. Of course, I mean, John Walker. Honestly, at this point, because of how much action was going on, I had kind of forgotten that he was going to be a part of this big fight. And then when he calls out Carly's name, I was like, oh, yes, this is about to ramp up in such an awesome way.
Yeah, I definitely got that same thing. Well, because I see, you know, the other shield and the cowl, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's still kind of Captain America in his mind.
Yeah, and that makeshift homemade shield kind of held up pretty well for the most part.
Until it made him cry.
Right. but yeah, so John joins on the fight and kind of gets overwhelmed by the Flag Smashers pretty quickly. And then Bucky comes to his rescue and they work together pretty well, which was cool to see, but also a little weird. Like it was kind of funny and strange how well they kind of clicked very quickly.
Well, you know, they just have that super soldier connection.
Yeah, that must be it. That must be, maybe that's what it is that allows them to just, you know, communicate without actually having any sort of technology, you know, at play there. John does redeem himself during this fight in a moment where Carly has a truckload of hostages ready to dump over into, I mean, what is apparently just a giant pit in the middle of New York City. I've been to New York several times. I don't remember seeing anything like this, but you know, sure. There's just a convenient construction site that's a solid 100-foot drop from the street. And so this truck is hanging over the ledge there. And John has the the opportunity to either chase down Carly or save the truck full of hostages. And he makes the superhero decision. And I guess that moment is sort of his redemption. You know, he decides to do the right thing. And I guess that's it, because yes, it was a cool moment, but it also kind of felt like I kind of needed to see more to completely flip the character of John Walker.
Yeah, especially since he didn't really complete the job. He gets by with a little help from his friends.
Yeah, he does try to hold the truck and then gets jumped again by the Flag Smashers. And it ends up being Sam who shows up just in time to, which ironically too, because, you know, Bucky wasn't going to be able to save him. John wasn't going to be able to save him. These super soldiers couldn't get the job done. And then here's Sam, the only one there who's, like you said, the only one who's not a super soldier, and manages to save this truckload of hostages. So, I mean, cool moment there. We also talked a little bit about, and actually I think this was me and Becca that talked about this on Marvel Monday, about how we kind of expected Bucky to recall that line from Captain America, the First Avenger, with, you know, let's hear it for Captain America. And that set up so well to be the moment there, and he didn't do it.
Do the thing. No, I liked the other reveal better, honestly, the way that they did it.
Yeah, well, so, and actually that reminds me, I skipped over a couple points I wanted to make. One, it was really cool. Once Sam shows up in the suit, somebody asks him, who are you? And he just looks real quick and says, responds with no hesitation, just says, I'm Captain America. And that was really cool to see. So that was a very satisfying moment. Then there was also a moment where Sam saves a couple NYPD officers in a helicopter that goes down, and he saves them on a bridge, and you hear some citizens of New York kind of cheering for him and basically just accepting him in that moment, which is such a trope for superhero movies. Because, like, you see that, I feel like we've seen that in every Spider-Man movie ever made at one point or another. But it was still really cool to see for Sam, because there was this whole storyline of, like, you know, they'll never accept a black Captain America. And yet here's this immediate response of positivity for him right there.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, too, that moment where we didn't get Bucky saying, let's hear it for Captain America. Instead, we had a couple of bystanders. One guy says, that's the Black Falcon right there. And another guy says, no, that's Captain America. And at this point, to me, I found that to be a little bit cheesy. I was just like, it's a little over the top. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. It was still a really cool moment.
Yeah, I liked it. Worked for me. And I think it definitely reinforced. Yeah, cheesy is probably correct. But yeah, definitely reinforced kind of the themes, and especially in, like, the last episode.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of
Isaiah wrong, basically, in that moment.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and we'll talk about Isaiah a little bit too. But speaking of, like, recalling lines from previous MCU projects, I thought for sure there was a moment where, and jumping ahead a little bit here, but Sam is fighting Carly, and she knocks him down, tells him to stay down. And I mean, 100% in that moment, you're thinking he's going to say, I can do this all day. Right. Like, I thought for sure that line was coming.
I think we can retire that line. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we probably can. But I thought for sure we would hear Sam say it once. And instead he just stands up and says no. And I was just like, oh, I felt so let down in that moment. All right. So after Sam saves the hostages, they face off. It's Sam, John, and Bucky facing off with the remaining Flag Smashers, with Sharon watching on from a distance. And Batroc drops in some smoke bombs, and the Flag Smashers take off. And so that leads to a little bit of a chase situation here. And that results in Sharon actually getting the drop on Carly. And they have a conversation in which we learn that Sharon is, in fact, the power broker. What was your reaction when we found out for sure that that's what was happening here?
Duh. That was Michelle Tanner, in case you couldn't tell. But yes, I wasn't very surprised. So,
yeah. Know.
We got one right, finally. Of all the guesses we've had about this show at the last, we finally nailed one from the beginning without wavering.
I'll give you credit for that one, because I had said a couple times last week that I didn't think she was going to be the power broker, because I thought Marvel was making it so obvious that she was, that they were going to hit us with a twist. And yet, I guess maybe I'm, you know, maybe Marvel was playing that for people like me who are overthinking things. And this, the fact that the obvious answer is the answer, you know, ends up being the twist.
It's like the old thing where they put there's two glasses. You're like, ah, well, you must have given me the poison, so I'll switch drinks. Unless you knew exactly that I was going to, that I knew that you would switch them, so I'll switch this one. And then, but what if you, yeah. And they could still have a twist. It just wasn't in this series.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we'll talk about that. That's yeah. So
when we do make shirts for this show, that should be the first thing we put is a slogan that says, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I like that you said when we make shirts for this show, as if it is a sure thing that is happening. That's about as sure a thing as me seeing that walking Groot in Disneyland at some point.
I guarantee.
So the conversation between Sharon and Carly results in a dead Batroc, because he shows up in time to learn that she is the power broker and tries to blackmail her into paying him 4 times the amount that he was promised. She tells him she doesn't like being blackmailed and she shoots him. In that process, though, Carly also shoots Sharon, and Sam hears these gunshots and finds them. And this is what leads to that showdown between Carly and Sam that I alluded to earlier. And this fight gave me Luke versus Darth Vader vibes immediately, because the whole thing was Sam does not want to fight Carly. He's not going to strike back, while Carly is kind of just like pounding away and trying to goat him into fighting her. And, yeah, so that's did you feel that Return of the Jedi connection there?
Well, I'll say that I guess because Sharon was in the room, all I could think of was plant yourself like a tree, and if they say move, you say no, you move.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the smarter connection to make there. Meanwhile, I just have Sharon in the background sitting there going good. Yeah, no, you're right. That's the more obvious connection for sure. And somehow that slipped right past me, and I just somehow jumped over to Star Wars instead.
No, yours is a better analogy. Mine's just a stupid saying she said in a movie.
Yeah, but it does fit in that situation, because that really is Sam following through on those words. And I mean, he was there at that funeral when she said that. So I mean, and that is more or less, yeah, that's the words that Captain America lives and operates by. And so, you know, it makes sense. So as Sam and Carly are having their non-fight, we see the other Flag Smashers trying to escape, and using the app to like plan their escape route. And finally that backfired on them, because John and Bucky get the drop on them, and well, first John quotes Lincoln and, you know, talks about mercy. I don't know the exact quote. I wasn't a history major in college, so but something about mercy being better than strict justice. And so he again just points out that he's turned over a new leaf. He's not so bloodthirsty like he was in previous episodes. But Bucky then points out that, you know, he just holds his phone up and he's like, it's a nice app. You know, so I was just like, yes, yeah, that about time that backfired on them. They were just using technology that everyone could have access to at any point.
Yeah, that was a fun little, oh yeah.
Before we move away from that too, John and Bucky walk off and actually share some sort of like playful banter, which I thought was funny. Still a little weird, because I felt like John flipped over too quickly. I really, really liked the character, and I am happy with where they ended up. I just wish it had taken a little bit more time, I guess. I don't know how I would have liked to see it happen, but I just wish it didn't kind of, you know, flip so fast.
I mean, I didn't think it was that like whiplashy. It's not like they're like, you're an Avenger now or anything like that. It's obvious in the heat of battle which side he was on this day. So, and there was always some level of respect for John, even if it was, you know, kind of begrudging and then like, dude, you need to calm down. So I didn't think it was that overdone or high or set up like you're suggesting.
Yeah, that's fair. And I am being a little bit nitpicky here because, I mean, this series has been so, so great to this point. So it was just a few little things here and there. But like I said, I do like where they ended up with the character. And I mean, there is still some more of him to come too. But we get back to the quote unquote fight between Sam and Carly. And it results in Sharon shooting Carly as she has a gun drawn on Sam. And I mean, I guess in the moment, Sharon, you know, is trying to save Sam, but do we really think Carly would have killed him? I'm not sure. This might've been Sharon acting more on, you know, what was in her best interest. So I think there's sort of a dynamic there at play, but
if she shot Sam. Yeah. I don't know if he would have died. I feel like he's got a lot of stuff on his chest. So unless she shot him like directly in the head, which is possible.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, you have to assume that that's a vibranium suit. I think he would have been just fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think Sharon was still operating in her best interests. I thought it was interesting too that, so Sam obviously, you know, he cared for Carly to an extent and saw what she was fighting for. And he agreed with her, like we said before, he agreed with her, just not the way that she was doing things. And so he rushes over to her and the last words she says before she dies in his arms are, "I'm sorry." And I thought that was really interesting. I'm not sure what we're supposed to take away from that. I mean, what exactly is she apologizing for in that moment? Is that supposed to be like sort of her redemption? It was definitely a very interesting last words for her.
Yeah, I guess it was almost like a, "You were right," or "Sorry, I misjudged you or disregarded you." I don't know, things like that. But then, you know, Sam recreates your shot from your toy photography this weekend. So that was cool.
Yes, which you can see on Twitter, which I retweeted from Zacks of Life. So you can see it right there. But yeah, that was surprisingly emotional. I didn't think, and not that, I mean, I wasn't, you know, crying my eyes out at the end of this episode, but I didn't think I would have any sort of emotional attachment to Carly. And I think the way that they did this death scene was very well done. I, you know, to draw emotion from a character that, I mean, we've talked about agreeing with Carly and relating to her in a lot of ways, but didn't expect an emotional reaction at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Sam gets back out into the public eye where, you know, police and medical staff and the media have all gathered, and they're tending to the hostages, which were the GRC representatives who were about to have that vote on the Patch Act. And with everybody there watching, Sam delivers this Captain America-esque speech to everybody and, you know, really pressures the GRC representatives to do a better job and basically finishes Carly's fight for her, just in the way that he said they should have been doing all along. And really, I mean, if go back to a few episodes ago, what was it? The fourth episode, I believe, when John stormed in too early as Sam was convincing Carly, this would have had a much simpler solution a while back had John just waited another 10 minutes, because clearly Sam's speech worked very well.
Yeah. I thought it was a little long, felt redundant in parts, but it was good. And I liked how Isaiah got to see it, even though that was another one of those kind of like silly things, like, oh, the cameras just happen to be there and they're breaking. I guess they probably would be breaking in, but just that they were able to hear this conversation so clearly and perfectly for broadcast.
Yeah, that was my problem with it. Because I mean, you figure, like I said, all the media was there and they were trying to get Sam to answer questions and stuff. But yeah, it was just, how did they hear his speech so clearly? But, you know, maybe he just tapped in with his magical communicator to their microphones in some way, because he managed to do it earlier. So those are the kinds of things we just kind of have to accept. But yeah, I do agree. It was a little bit repetitive, but it was effective, and it was cool to see. Not only do we see Isaiah and Eli watching it at home, we see Sarah watching it at home. We see Torres watching from some sort of military base. So, you know, cool to see the impact that it's having, not just on the people that were there with Sam, but on the MCU as a whole. So that was cool to see. We also, as it's finishing, you know, as Sam finishes his speech, Bucky goes up to him and, you know, refers to him as Cap, and somebody else actually refers to him as Cap. And as Sam is catching up with Sharon and sort of giving their goodbyes there, he tells Sharon he hasn't forgotten his promise of getting her that pardon. Somebody else refers to Sam as Cap and calls him away. And it's, you know, sort of that acceptance in that moment that this is our new Captain America and people are going to go with it.
Yeah. Although didn't Bucky say, I think he's talking to you.
Yeah. I think Sharon might've said it. One of them did.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're right. Either way. I don't know.
Yeah. As Sam didn't immediately respond when somebody calls out Cap. And I guess that's something he's going to have to get used to. Sam goes off to try and chase down the last Flag Smasher. And then, as you alluded to earlier, we see some of the Flag Smashers getting loaded into a truck, and we hear that they're going to get transferred over to the raft. And like you said, that one of the guards leans in before he closes the door and he says, "One world, one people." And they have this sort of look of like, oh, okay, we're saved now. He closes the door, the truck starts to drive off, and then it explodes. And this was probably my favorite moment of this episode. So this truck explodes. So we know, you know, oh, all those Flag Smashers are dead now. We pan up to a man sitting in a car, and we see him smile. And I don't know about you, but I didn't recognize who this was right away.
Took me a second. Becca got it.
Yeah. So we eventually see that this is Zemo's butler, and I do not know how to pronounce his name. Oznik, I believe. So we see that's who more or less pushed the button. It looks like he has some sort of detonator in his hand that he puts in his pocket. And then we cut to the raft and we see Zemo listening to the radio in his cell. And I can't even put into words how much I loved this scene. He hears the news of the Flag Smashers being killed in this car bombing. And in like 90s, like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air style, like just looks at the camera, gives this smile, and then puts his book down and lays down in his bed. It was amazing. Just another great moment for, I've said this so many times, Zemo has just been such an amazing villain throughout this series, and just, you know, so calculating and knows every step that everybody's going to take, and managed to orchestrate this from his cell in the raft. So just awesome. Such a one more awesome moment for Zemo before this series signs off.
Yeah, it was cool to get to see him again, because I mean I know you kind of predicted part of that, but it was cool to see him again.
Yeah, that was my prediction for the finale. I wanted to see him meet Thunderbolt Ross in the raft and kind of spin off into the Thunderbolts going forward. We didn't get to see him meet Ross, but this was just as satisfying because it was just such a cool scene. And speaking of cool scenes, we do get to see Julia Louis-Dreyfus again as Val, and she's with Olivia, John's wife, and they're waiting for John to come out. And before we see John again, Val has this moment with Olivia where she gets the news of that car bombing, and she has been in the small role that we've seen her in so far, she's been fantastic too, because she has this banter. I mean, can you even call it banter when she's the only one talking? But she, you know, going through everything, she's just like, oh, I guess Zemo got the last laugh. Unless I planned this. No, I didn't. Or did I? And it's just like, you know, that funny back and forth with herself. I can tell already that she's going to be one of my favorite characters in the MCU going forward.
Yeah, definitely vibes of Agatha, but on a different level and different enough for sure.
Yeah, agreed. But the big moment that we get in this scene is John coming out in his brand new suit, which is very similar to the Captain America suit he had before, except this one is black. And Val tells him, we don't need a Captain America. What we need is a U.S. agent.
U.S. agent.
Yeah, it's kind of rare, too, that we get this sort of moment. I mean, like we talked about in previous episodes, we hadn't heard Wanda referred to as the Scarlet Witch until the finale of WandaVision. And she had been in several movies before that. It's kind of rare that we hear, you know, oh, you're the U.S. agent now. And, you know, we've only been with John for six episodes, or mostly five episodes, the last few seconds of the first one, I guess. So I was surprised to hear that name spoken out loud, surprised to see him in this suit right away, but also very excited about it and looking forward to what this character does moving forward.
Well, you did mention, I think it was with Becca, just how lately they've been kind of taking a turn towards embracing the comics a little bit more. Not like they didn't before, obviously, because all of these characters come from there. And even if they put twist on storylines, they've been borrowing storylines from the material for forever. But maybe that's part of it now, is having, you know, calling people with the thing that you know that they are and having the suit that you're familiar with. And yeah, maybe that's all a concerted effort.
Yeah, and I do like that they move in that direction, but I hope that they also find the right balance of it, which I think they have done for the most part. I mean, they can give us some more fun comic book stuff like that. But I also don't want to start seeing characters like if Sam had just shown up in this Captain America suit from day one, right in the first episode, it would have played a lot, you know, more cheesy and wouldn't have felt as earned. Whereas showing up in this costume in the finale felt like such a big, important moment. So I think they and I'm sure they will continue to find that right balance of that.
Yeah, I will say part of me kind of expected more with Torres in this episode, but I think it's probably better saving that, especially if we are going to get a fourth Cap movie. Like, that just seems logical.
Right. And yeah, that's along those same lines. Like, Marvel tends to play these things slow like that. Like, we didn't get War Machine in the first Iron Man. You know, we tend to get those characters in a slow build. So I imagine we'll see Torres with the wings in the future. I'm glad, like you said, I'm glad they didn't do it right here in this finale. And that, I feel like that would have been just a little rushed.
Yeah.
So that sort of closes out the story on John for this series. And he ends it with, you know, these really excited, I'm back. Like, just a really funny moment for him too. Like, it's, I thought that was really cool to close it like that. He, you know, he goes from being more or less a villain to being like a kid in a candy store. Like, I'm so happy to be, you know, this, he's not Captain America anymore, but he's wearing the uniform, and it was cool to see him like so excited about that. So it's just funny the arc we've had with this character. But we got to move on to the closure for other characters, and that includes Bucky, who is making amends like Sam told him to, going and making things right. We see him get back to his friend, Mr. Nakajima, and he tells him about his son. He tells him that the Winter Soldier killed him and that he was the Winter Soldier. And it made it clear too that he didn't say like, I killed your son. He said the Winter Soldier killed him and I was the Winter Soldier. So I thought that was important too, the way that he does that. He didn't, you know, he's still separating himself from that past life.
Yeah. And I'll say this conversation, I really expected it to go longer, but I don't know what that would have benefited. I was just like, oh, he's done, he's out. But yeah, we all know how that conversation's gonna go, so we didn't necessarily need to see it. So I was fine with the way they left it, just surprised at first.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, because it did feel like it, you know, would have built to a longer scene, but I also don't know what else they would have said. So yeah, no, I like the way it was handled. We do also get some closure as Sam visits Isaiah one more time and takes them to, I believe it's the Smithsonian, right? That's the museum with the Captain America exhibit that we've seen in previous movies.
I don't know.
I mean, you would assume it's in DC. That's where they have been in previous Captain America movies. So
yeah, Isaiah's in Baltimore, so it's not, that makes sense.
Exactly.
Not far.
Right. So they go and they see the Captain America exhibit, and Sam shows them that he very quickly, I will add, got them to add a portion of the exhibit to Isaiah. And you see this statue and plaque telling his story, and another really emotional moment for Isaiah and for the viewers who have connected with these characters. And Isaiah sort of comes around and embraces Sam as Captain America. He even tells him earlier, you know, you're special. I'll admit you're special. He hugs Sam and thanks him. And that is sort of where their story closes out. So I thought that was a solid end to that as well.
Yeah, I was trying to look and see if it had like a date of death on the statue.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily see one, but I see a spot where it could go. I didn't freeze it either and look. But and yeah, it's nice. There's kind of like a photo or video photo montage thing in the background. It looks like it's got kind of his whole troop or platoon. We're really bad with military
terminology. Yeah, not our strength, that's for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, there's some other people. So it's not, it's mostly him, but there's also honor to the other people that presumably suffered, like he was saying, with these experiments and stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, that was a really cool ending to their story. Well, an ending to Isaiah's story, I suppose, but I am still hoping and expecting that we will be seeing Eli Bradley again in the future.
I was kind of waiting for something about that too. It's like, I want to show you something. I thought it was going to be like, oh.
Yeah. And no, that's another example of those slow builds. Like, they didn't just, you know, have him walk out in a Patriot costume, but we know the character's there. So the card is there to be played, and Marvel does a good job of knowing when to play it.
Yeah.
So as the episode is winding down, the last thing we see is Bucky revisits Sam's family in New Orleans, and they're just celebrating, I guess, just, you know, celebrating their victory and having this big party with all their neighbors that we saw briefly last week's episode. And Bucky clearly has made himself at home here, and it's nice to see that they have come together so well. And as Bucky and Sam look out at the sunset, and the episode cuts to black, and the title comes up, except it's not the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
We knew it was coming, but it's so nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did know it was coming. I actually expected that to be the title of this episode or this show before it started. I thought Marvel was, you know, playing a Serpent Society joke on us, and they were going to switch it at the last second. But no, it was cool to see it at the end like this. I thought that added some impact to it.
Yeah, and it actually repeats it again at the very end of the show, or maybe it's before the mid credits. I forget which.
We did get a post mid credit scene, whatever you want to call it, and it's Sharon getting her pardon and accepting a job. That, well, I guess this senator who we've seen a few times now, who I dubbed as a Skrull last week, I guess he just has the power to give her a job in the CIA on the spot, because that appears to be what he has done there. And she happily accepts and makes her way out of this chamber and gives the camera a little bit of a sly smile on the way out. And then we see her making a phone call and telling somebody on the other line that they should get the buyers ready, because she's about to have access to government secrets and prototype weapons and stuff like that. So clearly she is not done being the power broker. She has some nefarious intentions. And that appears to be where we're going with Sharon Carter.
Has anyone checked on Marshall to make sure he's okay? Because he made it clear in our TV club that he did not want this.
Yeah, no, he was not happy about the idea of her being the power broker.
Like, it gets worse. Like, when we were talking about the power broker, I was like, well, maybe there's something more to it. And now it's like, oh, no, she's like full on.
Yeah, well.
Except for your theory. But I'm saying, like, there was still some, like, maybe she's doing this for good somehow.
Right. We've kind of dubbed her this before, but Sharon Carter is my pick for
this week's Skrull.
I just think there's something so off about her right now. Like, this character is completely flipped. And I know she's gone through a lot since we saw her in Civil War. But I don't know. I mean, this seems different. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong about them even being willing to take such a... Not that Sharon's a major character, but a character of this magnitude and you know, flipping the script on her and having her be a Skrull eventually. But I think to give Secret Invasion some impact, you're going to have to do that with a few characters on this level. And I think Sharon's a good candidate for that. So that's my pick. That's my theory. I'm going to lock that in, and we'll see what happens when we get to Secret Invasion.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting because the biggest question for me is how are the Skrulls picking these people? Are they then kidnapping them and then just replacing them and just kind of stepping into their shoes? Or how does this process work exactly? So,
yeah, well, I can tell you in the comics that, I mean, they had a whole bunch of characters held as hostages for an extended period of time. I'm not sure how they're going to go about it in the MCU, because like we said, they do change some stuff from the comics, but honestly, nobody is off limits here. I think they could go in 100 different directions with that show. And I can't wait. I just want to get answers on it. Can't wait. But that does it for the finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I mean, I just want to get your thoughts on the series as a whole.
I definitely enjoyed it. I liked the thrill I got when that shield came through the window and I knew, oh my gosh, we're going to get to see him. Like, it came a little bit earlier in the episode than I was probably expecting.
Right.
Just like that thrill is just so cool. And I thought it had a really interesting perspective and brought a new, you know, all of these movies try to have some, even though they're just, you know, smash 'em ups, there's morals and points and arguments being made. And obviously this had that to the nth degree. Maybe not the nth degree, but pretty high. So yeah, I really liked it. It's hard to compare it to something like WandaVision. And so I'm not even going to bother trying. I enjoyed it a lot. So I have no complaints.
Yeah, I totally agree. Aside from those few nitpicky complaints I had about this finale. But I mean, I loved it. I loved every second of this show. I mean, they did such a great job with all of these characters. I thought John Walker is, you know, was done so well and became one of my favorite MCU characters. Baron Zemo, forget about it. He was off the charts. I mean, one of my favorite villains in movies in general now. I mean, I don't know how you consider that to be, you know, this is a TV show technically, but whatever. You know, he's one of my favorite villains, period. So they did such a good job with so many different characters, so many different storylines. And yeah, I mean, just really well done. And Marvel's 2 for 2 now on these Disney Plus series. We got Loki coming up fairly soon, and hopefully they can keep that streak going. But all right, you ready to get into the fun stuff?
This wasn't fun. This was always fun, but yes, let's get to the games.
Well, I mean, now listen, we ramble a lot. Now we get to bring in a guest to shut us up for a little bit.
There we go.
How much is that cameo?
All right, I need to redeem myself after last week's performance for how much is that cameo. So, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and explain real quick again how this game is played?
Sure. So I've found some people on Cameo that have connections to not just the MCU, but other Marvel projects. So I've made a list of them, and I'm going to tell you who they are, tell you what role they played in Marvel, and then see how close you can guess to what their price is for a cameo.
All right. And like I said, I need to redeem myself after last week when Benji took both of them. So this week we have Bill Gausel joining us. Hey, Bill.
And thanks a lot for having me on. I'm looking forward to this draft. I've been listening to you guys since your first episode, and I've always listened to the pains and the labors of how you choose your participants, and also how you choose your lineup. So I'm hoping for good things on my chance here, and perhaps I'll win. Fingers crossed.
So real quick, Bill is the host of the newest Laughing Place podcast, 2 P's 1 T. Bill, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, it's kind of inspired by Mike Celestino's Who's the Boss and what you guys are doing with Marvel. I was thinking about how we need more Muppet content, and we need to hear more Muppet discussions. And so with the help of Mike and some help there from Kyle, we launched our podcast just at the beginning of April. And we're looking to do about one episode a month, and just kind of deep dive into the content of Muppets and kind of sharing our joy about the Muppets.
Yeah, I totally agree, by the way. I want more Muppet content as well. All right, Kyle, let's get this game started here.
All right. So do you want to do what we did last week and have you guys pick a number, or should I just choose one of these at random?
Well, I have no idea what numbers we picked last week. That was a long time ago.
Well, I could read. Okay. I'm just going to choose one. Then we will go with Cal Dodd. He was the voice of Wolverine on the X-Men animated series.
Wow.
Yeah. So I ask you then, how much is that cameo?
Voice of Wolverine on X-Men the animated series. Man, that is tough. It's so hard with these voice actors because you never know how, like, he might have done 100 different things since then.
Probably has. Let me see if I can find other things in his portfolio. It does seem like Wolverine's the crown jewel looking at his, sure. He's also done Goosebumps. I assume that's the movie.
All right. Well, I'm going to set the number here. I'm going to go low. I'm going to say $45.
All right.
Oh, Wolverine, eh?
Canadian, in fact. So there you yes. go. There's something.
I got to put a high dollar value on him. And I mean, this is the voice of Wolverine from the X-Men animated series. I mean, there's a lot of people my age that would love to talk to him or they would spend some money, maybe $100.
Okay. Let me run some math here. I think that means that Bill wins by $5 because that cameo is $75.
Oh man.
Woohoo!
I just realized we didn't actually make Bill convert.
Oh, I was just thinking the exact same thing.
Would I not be paying in Canadian dollars since he is a Canadian superhero?
All right, I am 0-3 in this game now. So Kyle, let's get one more here, see if I can redeem myself.
All right. Well, can't do two forever, but we will this week. Let's do how about this one? Julian Hilliard. He was Billy on WandaVision.
Oh, boy.
How much is that cameo?
All right, Bill, I'll let you set the number this time.
Billy. Oh, Billy. Oh, he can't be worth that much. I mean, he was great on the show. I'm going to say $50.
Yeah, that's right around where I was thinking. Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to keep it close. We're going to go to $65.
Well, then, Mac, by edging him out that way, you win because that cameo is $125.
Whoa.
What?
And I will say, actually, on my sheet, it was $129, but I just checked back. He's lowered his price by $4. So.
Oh, all right.
There's no way I would pay that much for Billy, even though he shares the same name as me.
I'm sure he'll have many popular roles in the future. But yes, 125 is a little high.
No, hopefully he has a future in the MCU.
Then he can go up to 300.
All right, you guys ready to draft?
What if I told you we were putting a team together? Assemble.
All right, so since Bill is here for our draft this week, we decided to add some Muppet spin to this. So real quick, though, I got some bad news for you guys. Thanos has gotten the Reality Stone, and he has used it to jump into the reality of the Muppets. So what we need to do is assemble our Muppet teams to stop Thanos.
A puppet version of Thanos. A Muppet version.
Yeah, exactly. Thanos now in the Muppet reality is clearly Muppet Thanos, which I 100% want to see now. Disney, get that done, whatever it takes. All right, so we like to be good hosts on here, and that means letting our guests pick which spot to draft from. So, Bill, this will be a snake draft, so if you pick first in the first round, you'll be picking third in the second round, and so on. So where would you like to pick, first, second, or third?
I gotta choose first, or else my first choice is gonna go.
Oh, interesting. All right. So Bill will be picking first. Kyle, I believe pick first because we messed up our draft order. So I will be picking second then, and then Kyle picks third. All right. So Bill, where are you going with this surefire first pick that you knew would not get back to you?
So I guess if it's my first pick, I'm going to have to go with someone who's strong, who's capable, who could lead the team, but also is a fighter, and I'm going to have to choose Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy was very high on my list.
Well, I'm so happy to get Miss Piggy. I see her as like a combination of Captain Marvel and Iron Man together, and she'd be the perfect person or perfect Muppet to lead my team.
Although it's funny that you compare her that way. I was thinking more of the Hulk because you don't want to get her mad.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. So like Bill, I thought about this draft a lot today, and yet I am not nearly as prepared as Bill is, for sure. So I do have a list here. Like I said, Miss Piggy was definitely very high on the list, but the one at the top is still there for me, and I'm not sure how smart this pick is, but going up against Thanos, I'm going to want some muscle. I'm taking Sweetums.
That's muscle. That's good choice. You got some strength there with Sweetums.
Yep. Sweetums was on my list.
I just figured you got to get the big guy in there.
All right. So now it's to me. I have a few different ways to go with this. Well, you mentioned Tony Stark. The Tony Stark stand-in that I want for this fight is Bunsen Honeydew.
Oh, man. I had him at the bottom of my list thinking I could for sure grab him in the fourth round, and Kyle just goes sniping him right away.
Yeah, I mean, we need those inventions. He'll help suit us up.
Bunsen Honeydew stuff usually blows up, so whatever he throws at Thanos is bound to explode.
That's what I'm hoping for. And then I'm going to be sneaky with my second pick. I'm taking from Muppet Vision 3D, Waldo, the spirit of 3D.
Not even remotely on my radar. I mean, solid pick. Just not really what I thought of.
He can change into different things, like a car, and that seems helpful.
Now, in all my lists, I would never have thought of Waldo.
Well, that's unfortunate, because I didn't need to draft him second then.
All right, so that brings it back to me for my second pick here. And we did agree that Sesame Street characters are on the board, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the one that's a superhero. I'm taking Super Grover.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you're going to fight someone like Thanos, you need someone who has the word super in their name. He'd be a good fighter.
Yep. That was the first on my list, and I just bumped him for stupid Waldo, and now I'm upset about it.
Well, that makes me love that pick so much more now.
Literally the first name I wrote down. And the reason why I asked if Sesame Street was okay, even though we don't own them.
All right, Bill, we are back to you for your second and then third pick, back to back.
Oh, yes. Well, I can't believe that I'm actually going to get my second pick here. But with Piggy's leadership, she's going to need some muscle there, too, and a little bit of crazy and maybe someone who can go berserk every now and then. And my second pick is going to be Animal.
Okay.
Yeah. Animal also very high on my list.
Can hit him over the head with drumsticks. So that's a talent.
Or bite into them. Or and third pick, and I'm going to reference the Muppets from the one season wonder of the ABC series that was recently on.
I don't like where you're going with this, Bill.
Oh, I can see you and I are on the same page here, Kyle. I got to choose Big Mean Carl.
Yes, Big Mean Carl. He was the second one on my list.
Big Mean Carl is an angry, grumpy, violent monster who will just basically tear Thanos apart and probably eat him up and spit him out at the same time.
That's what I figured. I figured he'd be eating him, at least parts of him. Just chomp that Infinity Gauntlet right off his arm.
That is, and then spit it out at the end.
That is such a good pick, and I just want to recreate the scene from the first Avengers where Loki says, "I have an army," and Tony says, "I have a big mean Carl."
And big mean Carl's response will be, "What do you want?"
Yeah, that is a very good pick. I don't know why I forgot about big mean Carl. All right, so I am up now. And my list has kind of been picked apart here. I'm not sure where to go. So I think I'm just going to go sort of to the top here. Not to the top of my list, but to the top of the Muppets. Because, you know, Captain America brought the Avengers together. I need Kermit. Somebody's got to lead the Muppet.
He's a good leader. He would inspire his team. They would follow him. He may not be the best fighter or, you know, maybe might be able to sing him to death, but
was he just gonna beat him with his banjo? Come on now.
I He's going to inspire them to be the very best Muppets they can be.
All right. Well, you know what, then? Just because you said that, I'm going to take Captain America and Falcon wrapped into one. I'm taking Sam Eagle.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
All right, look, I had Sam Eagle on my list. He was my backup for Kermit because Sam Eagle is the John Walker of the Muppets.
It's true. And he won't stop in the middle of the fight because stopping in the middle is distinctly unpatriotic.
Oh, that's good. These are some good teams.
And then for my final pick, then, we all know that as great as the Marvel movie look and the action looks, that they're not the actors doing those things. It's the stuntmen. So with that in mind, I'm going to take Gonzo the Great.
Yeah, that was the next one on my list. Yeah, that was a good one.
Gonzo. Fearless.
The Great Gonzo, Bill.
The Great Gonzo. I forgot. Yes. I wouldn't be like calling Grover just Grover, not Super Grover. I mean, the Great Gonzo. He'd be somebody you send in, load him into a cannon, and fire him right at Thanos.
He'll be Bunsen Honeydew's little test Muppet.
You get that wild card factor, right? You don't ever know. Never know what Gonzo's going to do. All right, that's a solid lineup you got there. I got to finish off my team here. And took Gonzo from the top of my list. All right, so the next one up there then. I'm going to go back to Sesame Street for this one. I could have taken this character in round one, in round two, round three, but I'm getting him in round four. I'm taking the count.
One Thanos.
One Infinity Stone.
Two exactly Infinity Stones.
Not what I was thinking. That is one that Becca suggested. And I had to tell her that I don't think he does actual vampire things.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, he can fly and he's got the teeth.
He does have sharp teeth. I guess he can use them. Well, you know, sharp for felt.
Yeah, as sharp as felt can be, I guess.
Yes, they really dig in to that neck of Thanos there. Well, for my fourth pick, I was thinking along the lines of the Avengers, and I've got my Iron Man / Captain Marvel. I've got my Hulk in the form of Animal or Big Mean Carl. And you need somebody that has the quality of an Ant-Man, and Pepe the Prawn is my last pick. You can get in anywhere.
I considered something like that, him or Rizzo, yeah.
Yeah, I like Pepe just for the attitude. I think makes a good addition.
Funny that you picked Pepe for this draft and for your first thing on 2P1T.
He's a guy I would want to go on vacation with, and if I got in a tough spot, he's the guy I would want to have on my team. And unfortunately, though, we did not win that poll. We had to tie with Mike. There was an equal amount of votes for Pepe or Scooter.
All right, let's run through our lineups real quick. Bill, do you have yours?
Hey there, editing Kyle here. Bill had Miss Piggy, Animal, Big Mean Carl, and Pepe the Prawn.
All right. And I have Sweetums, Super Grover, Kermit, and the Count. Kyle, what did you end up with?
Bunsen Honeydew, Waldo, the Spirit of 3D, Sam Eagle, and either Gonzo the Great or the Great Gonzo. Either way.
So you're gonna argue that we need to put the Great in the poll in some way, aren't you? Or in the graphic.
And Waldo, the Spirit of 3D. I need people to know right. What these Waldo things are. Is. I mean, you're not just going to put Carl. You got to put Big Mean Carl. Tell you what, you can just put Gonzo if you just put Grover.
I was just going to say, I will allow it because I'm definitely putting Super Grover in there.
I will also say that Grover holds a special place in my heart because one of my favorite books as a kid was There's a Monster at the End of This Book. And the other name that I had on my list that didn't get taken was Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, I also thought of Snuffleupagus. Other names on my list, I had Abby-Kadabby, you know, any character with some magical abilities, I guess. And Cookie Monster, another just wild card to throw at Thanos there. All right, well, Bill, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. When can we listen to the new episodes of 2P1T?
Mike and I are looking to record our next episode in a couple of weeks, and it should be out, I would say, two to three weeks from now. We're going to be looking at the first season of The Muppet Show on Disney Plus and kind of highlighting our three favorite episodes from the season, from season one. And we'll actually have some new Muppet news coming out with the announcement by Disney Plus that they're looking at doing a biopic about Jim Henson, and be looking at where, you know, where do the Muppets stand coming up, and what's the potential future for the Muppets. So hopefully we'll be able to get that out in about 2 to 3 weeks and get into a real schedule of getting one episode out per month.
I recently rewatched the first season of the only season of the Muppets. And so I'm very interested to hear what your favorite episodes are, because I think I have my list. So very excited to hear that episode.
Oh, looking forward to sharing it with you and seeing what other people's opinions are.
I have to go rewatch that show again now, because I mean, I loved it so much.
Oh, and that show helped me appreciate some of the other supporting characters, like Uncle Deadly, who I'd never really given much attention to, or even Big Mean Carl. I never noticed them until this show, and you see the personality that they get to bring out makes you appreciate them more. So
cool. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Well, and thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. I'm looking forward to see how our draft goes and see who wins. Personally, if anyone who's listening, please vote for me. I would love to win this.
I don't know if we've had people campaign on the show like this before.
Well, nobody other than me, at least.
Does this count as interfering with foreign elections? I don't know if this is legal.
Oh, we're going technical. Fair enough. I will say it's been great, and thanks a lot for having me on, guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys think of Loki. Your opinions, I've really liked hearing your discussion about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and it's been great for on my drives to and from work.
Thank you. That means a lot, actually, because I mean, you're one of what, like Kyle said, the five people that listen. So, all right, that's going to do it for another episode of the Zacks of Life podcast. Thanks everyone for joining us again this week. Thank you for following along with our recaps of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's been a crazy ride for the last, what? Well, I guess 15 weeks. We had 1 week off in between, but now we're going to be on a little bit of a break. We got no Marvel stuff coming out until Loki, June 11th.
Well, we do have Assembled, so we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back for Loki. So be sure to check that out. I'm looking forward to seeing I'm guessing that this one will have a lot larger focus on the way COVID impacted production. I'm kind of hoping for that, because I think that'll be interesting. But
yeah. Yeah, so I mean, our next episode will be out on June 14th. So we will be back to recap the first episode of Loki.
Recap? Okay.
I see what you did there. So we will be back to re-Falcon the first episode of Loki. Of course, we will be breaking down Assembled still. You can catch Marvel Monday. Well, first we'll be breaking down this finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Marvel Monday this upcoming week. But the week after, we will have a Marvel Monday covering Assembled on the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So you can check that out. And of course, we'll still have Marvel time every Wednesday, breaking down the latest in Marvel comics and some Marvel news as well. So you can keep an eye out for that. That'll be on the Laughing Place social channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Periscope, you name it. We're there. So you can check those out there. Of course, head over to laughingplace.com for the latest Marvel and Disney news in general. And you ready for a extended break, Kyle?
I mean, I kind of forgot it was happening, but now I'm slightly excited for it. So yeah.
I'm already counting down the days until Loki comes out and we can get back and talk about some more Marvel fun. But so it'll be a little while, but we will be back. So thanks, everyone. Bye.
Keep on zaxing.